Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Athletic polled NFL players about a number of things. They did a quarterback poll. So who's the most overrated? Who's the most underrated? All types of things. And the first question that they asked was, which quarterback would you least like to face in a big game? And guess who won going away?
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady did that. 52% of the NFL players, that's huge. 52% said he is the quarterback they would least like to face in a big game. And considering that we've got a big game this weekend with the Patriots, I think that speaks volumes. Aaron Rodgers was the runner-up at 32%. Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes also received votes. But, Rob.
Wait a minute. You left off a piece of the question, and this is where the problem comes in. The question was, which quarterback would you least like to face if he had your defensive signals?
I was just going to say, since it's your birthday, we would have gave you a rim shot, but nah. We can't do it,
not even on my birthday. That's all right.
I knew a joke was coming. I wanted to say trigger alert.
But here we go. I'm going to stop you before you get on your high horse and talk about.
How many times have you said Eric Dickerson says that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback he's ever seen? I mean, you always want to say the players. You go to them to buttress your point. I don't know if I used that correctly.
I know. What was that?
Look that up, Rob G. Did I use it correctly? To bolster your point.
Yes.
But look up buttress.
Buttress.
I think I may have lucked into it and used that.
I think he
correctly
misremembers.
What was that?
I don't know. But anyway,
you know what?
I'm always backing up your points with Eric Dickerson or some other player said this or that. 52% of the league, Rob, is saying that they wouldn't want to face Tom Brady even at his age.
Yeah, but the problem is they're living in the past. They're looking at the Tom Brady who did
of
win.
What, last year?
No, he didn't win last year.
How much of the past
he didn't
last
win.
Year?
Did you
but
watch?
He got to the Super Bowl.
Did they watch this year? That's not the same Tom Brady from a year ago. It's not. Tom Brady's not that guy anymore. People are just doing it. You know what they want to do? They're afraid to stand out there and say, no, Tom Brady's not that guy anymore. They're afraid to do that because they're like, well, I'd rather play it safe than sorry. The safe thing is to praise Tom Brady, live in the past, talk about the championships he won in the past, and then just to cover themselves. And then when Tom Brady loses, they'll go, well, what do you expect? He's 41 years old. And they use that as the excuse of why Tom Brady has faltered. Just look at what's currently going on. We're not talking about the past. We're not talking about the Cowboys who had won two Super Bowls, two playoff games since 1995. They won the other day. We're talking about Tom Brady, who's not as good as he was just a year ago when he was 40 years old.
But he's still very good.
He's not that good.
You act like he's completely fallen off the cliff. I'll give you that he's not quite what he was last year, but he's still very good. He still statistically had a season comparable, if not better, than Aaron Rodgers, who's very much in the middle of his prime. Ask Houston, who New England beat. Ask Indianapolis, who New England beat. Ask Kansas City, who New England beat. Ask Chicago, who New England beat. Green Bay, Minnesota. I mean, where does this narrative that Brady's had a horrible season coming from,
easy,
Mr. Parker?
Look at his numbers. All of his numbers are down, and they're down going back. Brady's numbers, some of them date back to the worst numbers he's had since 2013, since 2015, since 2014. It's all the numbers are down.
His numbers, most of his numbers, he's are lost, better than most than all.
No, I'm
all
talking
of the
about
Super Bowl winning.
I'm talking about
he
based
had.
On Tom Brady. He used to be able to cover up any warts that the Patriots have. They have warts everywhere. They look like the Wicked Witch of the West with the warts. Tom Brady's not makeup this year. He can't even throw a ball out of bounds when he wants.
One play.
No,
that's
it ain't no one play.
How many times are you going to say that? That's like the 171st time I've heard you reference that throw.
You know how many times
How about referencing this? His passer rating was higher than Aaron Rodgers.
We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers.
It's just a measuring stick.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
It's a great measuring stick because most people still view him as the best passer in the game, including you. His completion percentage was better than Aaron Rodgers. How bad could he be if he's out-dueling Aaron Rodgers?
Here we go. You ready for this?
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
Yes, it's the worst throw in 10 years. He can't even throw the ball out of bounds. Gronk got three passes this year in the red zone. He used to feast on Gronk.
Gronk is falling off a lot more than Tom Brady.
They run the ball more. You know why? Because Brady can't do the same things throwing the football.
How'd they beat Chicago? How'd they beat Kansas City?
Have you watched the end of the year with them? They're running the football more.
More, but not exclusively. Brady is still the straw that stirs the drink, and you know it. You're going to die with this narrative just like you have the last 7 years. You've been saying this since 2011.
No, I haven't. I've
and
not.
Every year you die on the Tom Brady mountain. Trying to kill him, saying he's washed up, saying he's done.
I didn't die last year at the end of the game. You know what happened? Tom Brady was the GOAT. G-O-A-T when he fumbled away the ball on that fumble sack. Tom Brady cost the Patriots the Super Bowl. Tom Brady missed a pass last year.
Tom Brady
can't do that anymore. That's the point. Everybody's living in the past on Tom Brady.
The players have spoken. They know what it's like to game plan for Tom Brady. They know what it's like to stare in his eyes across the other side of the field. They know what it's like to have a lead in the fourth quarter and you've given that guy too much time left on the clock. They know what it's like to have a bunch of receivers that run 4 8-40-yard dashes and you know they can't match you athletically and somehow they get open and he picks you apart. The players have spoken, Rob Parker. Just go with it.
877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369. It's your turn to weigh in. I know, look, it's Rob's birthday, so take it easy on him. But I know you guys want to go at his neck.
Relax.
Because to say Tom Brady is washed up and done and has no chance to win the AFC and get to the Super Bowl?
I'm talking about the fear factor. How could you fear Tom Brady now? Years gone by, maybe. But now, after watching Tom Brady play, I'm talking about Tom Brady. He's not the same guy.
They were 11. You're acting like they barely snuck in the playoffs with a 9-7 record.
They lost more games on the road than they had since 2002 or something.
Guess what, though? Guess what? This game this weekend, where is it at? It's in Foxborough, baby. I don't want to hear about the road right now.
Hell yeah.
It is not the same Tom Brady. We'll see come, when is that, Sunday? Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern.
All right, it's your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Were the players right? Is Tom Brady the guy you'd least like to face in a big game, or is he washed up like Rob Parker says? It's the iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're excited to bring in our next guest. He's a Super Bowl champion, Fox Sports NFL analyst, and a regular here on The Odd Couple, one of our great friends, Greg Jennings. Welcome to The Odd Couple, brother. How you doing?
Happy birthday!
Yeah.
We do the Stevie version on the iCouple.
That's right. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate
it. Happy birthday, Rob, man. That's huge, man. I hope I'm blessed enough to make it to the double nickels.
No doubt. That's how I feel, Greg. I absolutely. Like, people are like, well, should I say your birthday or how old you are? I'm like, dude, I'm not ashamed to be 55. I'm very proud to be 55. I feel good. I'm happier than I ever been in life, man. I'm good.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Greg, before we get to the NFL, I want to ask you, I guess this is somewhat the NFL. Kyler Murray came out today that he will declare or is likely to declare for the NFL draft. What type of quarterback do you think he'll be in the NFL? I think 3 or 4 years ago, he wouldn't have even been given a chance to succeed in the NFL. And now there's reports he could be a first or second round pick. What do you think about him in the NFL?
You know, after watching him this year and specifically on that stage in the national championship game, I like Kyler Murray. I like what he provides to a team. I like his bravado. As a receiver, being in that offensive huddle, you want a guy that is sure of himself and knows what he provides to your offense. And I see that in him. So that's step one. And all the intangibles, all the skill sets and what it takes to be a professional quarterback on the next level, he makes every throw. He throws the ball really well with velocity, accurate. I like Kyler Murray on the next level.
What about, let's switch over to the NFL and the playoffs. The big game, of course, is here in Los Angeles with the Rams and Cowboys. Rams are 7-point favorite, even though, to me, they ended the season basically on a downward trend because they were unbelievable. And I know they won 13 games and all that, but they struggled in December, Greg, 2-2. Cowboys have been hot. They won their first playoff game. Who do you like in this game?
You know what? I like the Rams. I like the Rams for a couple of reasons. Number one, because they're playing in their weather, in their climate. I would say if it were any other team, I would say because they're playing at home. But when we're talking about L.A. and the Rams, the opposing team, specifically one of the most historic teams in all of football, is definitely going to have their fans flooding that stadium. So we'll see how much of a home game it'll be. But I like the fact that they have a chance to redeem themselves from last season. At home, a young team who had no playoff experience. Obviously, they didn't finish the way they wanted to last year. Going into this season, they had all the high stakes. Everything was right there in their hands for the one seed. They let that slip away. So they have something to prove. And I don't think anyone truly believes that this will just be a gimme game because of the way the Cowboys are playing.
And you know what? Earlier, Chris made a point, and I thought it was a good one, about the McVay thing. His whole, magic that he's got going, they're hiring coaches now who rubbed elbows with him or had a cup of coffee. You know, if you had a cup of coffee with him.
Went to high school.
Right, you're like an NFL coach now. But if he doesn't win this game, that'll be 2 years in a row where they win all these regular season games and lose a home playoff game. Some of that might wear off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when you look at his resume, that has seemed to be the quickest built resume in all of coaching.
Right.
He really does have something to prove when it matters. A regular season is great, but when you can coach and win games in the playoffs, that's when you start cementing your legacy. That's when your legacy becomes really foundated. And so I think he understands the importance of what's at stake, what's before them. And it's going to be a tough task because of the way the Dallas Cowboys are playing right now.
Greg, we look at some of the coaching hires. Mike McCarthy hasn't gotten a job yet, says he'll wait and sit out till 2020.
I don't know if he can really say, and he's saying he's waiting. Nobody wants to hire him, to be honest.
Right. Well, you of course, were in his offense, and, you know, it was a different few years ago. But do you think that his offense – I think the feeling is that it was a bit antiquated compared to Kansas City and what Sean McVay and some of these other teams are doing. Did you think that was a fair criticism of McCarthy's offense?
I believe it is a fair assessment of his offense. Honestly, it's effective. But it's been effective, and I think everyone's going to look at it from the lens of it's been effective because you've had Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And so I think the fact that he has that kind of looming over him, it doesn't bode well. So, yeah, he's going to say, I'll sit out. Look, no, trust me, if someone came knocking at your door, you're not going to sit out.
Right.
But because no one has jumped at the task or the opportunity of hiring McCarthy, specifically because he's known not to be as creative and innovative as some of these other coordinators and play callers, that's going to hurt him. And more than anything, the fact that Aaron Rodgers questioned and challenged his play calling, and you couldn't be creative with arguably one of the most talented quarterbacks of our time.
Now, where are you on the black coaches? We call it Black Monday because five of the seven black coaches got whacked. And now through this new hiring process, what, there's only one job left, right, Cincinnati?
And there's talk that, you know, we had heard yesterday maybe they go with Chris Richard, but, you know, now it's looking like Zach Taylor.
So we'll
see who they go with.
So here we go. You mean to tell me that five black coaches, you know, went by the wayside, and then in a year where there were eight openings, that no black coaches got hired? That's not a good look.
This is the problem. This is the problem with the Rooney Rule. This is the problem with when you have a black coach in that position and they're given almost no chance, like a Steve Wilks, to succeed.
Right.
With a rookie quarterback all year. And so it's frustrating because you have all these openings and you have these coaches who've been fired, and you know in the back of our minds, I don't care who you are, most of the and specifically the black coaches who are currently coaching, they know they're not going to get another opportunity as easily as it like we're all talking about Mike McCarthy and all
Adam
these coaches.
Gase.
We bring their names up, and it's as if we're promoting them as a coach versus a Steve Wilks or a Marvin Lewis or Hugh Jackson or all these guys. And for me, Todd Bowles, for me, it's I can understand the frustration and how hard of a or how hard it is to obtain that position, and then let alone obtain it. Now you have to sustain that position.
And here's
because you go ahead,
Greg. Here's the other thing, and Chris and I talked about this yesterday. The other problem is, let's just face it: when black guys do get coaching jobs in the NFL, they're the worst teams, so they're already set up to fail. And then when they do fail, it's hard to go get another opportunity. I only know Tomlin got a great job, right?
Yes.
And Jim Caldwell took over for Tony Dungy. Those are the
exactly.
only two. But look, if you look at the guys who were fired, they were all on perennial bad teams that haven't won with anybody.
Vance Joseph was Denver. That was a little different. I mean, obviously that's a strong franchise.
But I don't think when he took over, they
no,
were.
No,
they were strong.
No, I don't think you can throw Vance Joseph in that category because if you look at what he had to work with.
Right.
At that point, they were bad.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. They had a strong defense, but from a quarterbacking position and offense, understanding what it takes to be successful in this league, you got to have a quarterback. And if your front office don't get you a quarterback,
right.
you're going to struggle.
And that's the issue because Chris was saying that he would love to see – the Bengals give Hugh Jackson, and I'm like, it would just be another one of those give a black guy a bad team kind of situation, and then he gets fired. I want to see them open it up and give guys some other opportunities, some good teams.
Yeah,
well, it's the Odd Couple. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I just don't see that happening, unfortunately.
It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by Super Bowl champion Greg Jennings. Greg, today in The Athletic, they did a poll of NFL players and asked, it was a quarterback poll, and they asked them which quarterback would they least like to play against in a big game. 52% of them said Tom Brady, even though we know he's 41 years old. Do you think that you agree with that?
Old news.
And what type of chance do you give, you know, Brady this weekend?
Look, I would not want to play against Tom Brady. I'm just being, it's something about Tom Brady and this time of year. And Rob, I know it's your birthday, and I want to say everything to side with you today. But I know in your heart of hearts, you feel the same way. You don't want to play Tom Brady this time of year.
I think if you're the Chargers, you do want to play because it's not the same Tom Brady. It's not the guy who have over years covered up the makeup, covered up the warts of the Patriots, and was that guy. I understand why the players might have voted in him because they're still living in the past, but this Tom Brady is not the Tom Brady of even a year ago, Greg, when he won the MVP and threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's all I'm saying. He's not that guy. I think people are kidding themselves.
Rob, I understand that, but I have to then ask myself, because there's certain people you just don't doubt, and I have to ask myself, can he be that guy three times? Can he? Three,
yes.
And you're telling me he cannot?
I'm telling you, nope, not anymore, nope.
I don't even want to get...
Full disclosure, Rod's been saying that since 2011.
No, that's not true. It's not true.
2012, right. My bad.
Nah, go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
I just feel like, matter of fact, I'm getting ahead of myself. Just for one game, can he do that? And I think with his mentality, I think he's mentally strong enough to overcome and to take his game to another level for four quarters, one game at a time. I just believe I wouldn't pick anyone to do it other than Tom. Hey, like, I honestly wouldn't.
Greg, here you go. This is Tom Brady's season wrapped up in one play.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
I knew it was coming.
Greg, let me ask you this. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, how do you think Rodgers is going to respond to this young guy? I mean, he's older than Aaron, but, you know, only by a couple years. Hasn't really done anything in the league, you know, doesn't have nearly the stature that Aaron does. How do you think that's going to work out, or how is Aaron going to treat him?
Well, he's going to treat him like he's the head coach, but we saw how he treated Mike McCarthy. So
right.
He's going to challenge him. He's going to respect him. That's just what you do as a player. You respect who is put in front of you, but you're going to challenge them. When you're a great player, and we all can identify Aaron as a great player, that's your job, to challenge those, to push you beyond where you have already been. And I think that's what's going to allow us to see who LaFleur really is and what he's really made of.
All right. You heard it from the Super Bowl champion, Greg Jennings. Thanks once again, man, for joining us.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Absolutely.
All right, Greg.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you. Really do. Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Yes, sir, it is Shop Talk here on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. We do this every single Thursday at 8:45 p.m. Eastern, where we take a second to take a look outside of the world of sports because we all have outside interests. And going into today's show, we had a topic all lined up, ready to roll, and then we had breaking news during one of our commercial breaks involving Rob Parker, Mr. Double Nickel himself.
Uh-oh.
He found out that his ex-wife has been following him on the sneak on social media. We don't know how long. It just seems a little bit creepy, I guess, from what Rob was saying. So let's just get your thoughts on this. What are your thoughts on having an ex, either a spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, maybe someone you had a fling with, ghosting you and following you on social media?
Well, Rob, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, you know what? It was, I had no idea. It really was. It was during one of the breaks, and I said to Rob and Alex, and I won't follow her back because I just, you know, we've been divorced for a while.
How long have you been divorced now?
15 years.
And you haven't talked, like, you don't, there's no communication or anything?
No, I mean, not now, but we've talked. I don't have anything against her at all. But this is my only thing. I just wouldn't like, to me, if I follow her or whatever, you know what I mean? You send out like a signal that maybe there's something else going on. And I just, that's the part that I wouldn't do.
Nah,
what about you?
You know, people talk about this and you hear pastors tell congregants, don't, like, you know, you on Facebook or social media where you can reconnect with all these old flings.
Right.
You know, and it's not a good idea. You know, look, I've been married 23 years, but I've seen in the past some of my ex-girlfriends before I got married. And there was a time once I really wanted to see an old girlfriend, not for anything, you know, anything untoward or anything wrong, you know, but I just would have liked to have seen her. I was going to be in the town where she lived at. You know, but just to catch up, like, hey, how you doing? You know, what you up to now? That, all that stuff. All above board. But then I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it because, you know, barriers have been broken in our relationship. I kind of feel like anybody you've been intimate with in the past,
right?
It's easier to be intimate with that person in the future because those barriers have already been broken. And I was like, you know, I wasn't even thinking that way, like, oh, I want to get with her. It wasn't nothing like that. But I was like, you know what? If I see her and we having a good time, we talking, having fun, having lunch, whatever, I don't know. I was just like, it would have been too easy to feel that way. And I don't know if she would have felt that way or not.
But
I was like, I don't even want to be in that position where, you know, it's not like if I go out with another woman, there's no thought of that, you know, because I'm married, she's whatever she is, and we haven't been intimate.
Right.
But when you've been that way, that barrier's been broken, and I think it'd just be easier for something to happen. That's my feeling.
Hey, Deb, jump in on this, and I would say, like, I wouldn't block my ex-wife from if she wants to follow me. I really wouldn't because I don't have any ill will. It's just that I wouldn't follow her. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I agree with that. Now, it would be a little odd if she was following you if you had a really contentious breakup, but A, you're a public figure.
Right.
B, she is not, I'm presuming. I don't know who she is.
Right.
But just because you are not together doesn't mean that you can't be acquaintances. So if she follows you, I get it.
Right.
But if you are involved with somebody else and, for instance, you're following her back, I see Chris's point. If your significant other then says, I'm not comfortable with this, then you cut it off in all ways with the ex. But I don't think it's odd that she's following you.
Yep. No, you're right. And I think that's fair. And that's why, like, I wouldn't think of doing anything else, like blocking her or there's no reason to do that. We didn't have a contentious, you know, breakup. We just broke up, and I like her a lot.
Exactly.
Well, some people, you said something important, Deb, because a lot of spouses or even just people dating, if one of the parties doesn't want you, you know, interacting with some of your old flings,
right,
a lot of people get offended by that. Like, what's she tripping, you know, and
no.
But I can look, if your spouse really doesn't want it and they're really, I mean, I'm not saying they're overboard and paranoid, but I'm just saying if they really aren't comfortable with it, then I think you should respect your spouse's wishes on something like
no
that.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rob G, jump in. And Alex, I want to get you guys in as well. What do you think?
Well, I'm petty, so
at least you know you're petty, though, but you know you're petty.
It's good to know you are. We knew it. We were waiting for you to say
it. I knew it. And so
we knew it when you became the producer of the show.
Absolutely.
There had been whispers.
I don't follow any of my exes or any, you know, flings or anything like that. But I also don't block them either so that just they know how well I'm doing now. Like, I enjoy people saying, like, oh, man, you work at Fox, you work with Chris and Rob, and all this stuff. You have a dog and a house and a wife. I'm like, yeah, I do. So you can just keep looking at it. I'm not going to follow you back, but you're more than welcome to peruse my page as much as possible. So I like that.
Alex?
This is tough now because with social media, you have so many outlets of interaction with people that are in your life or have been in your life. But I think it comes down to like your self-confidence and the restraint you have within your own self, that I have no personal issue with any of my exes or people I've been with. And I don't think it should be an issue. Honestly, I think if you had the intimacy with them before, like Chris said, but you went out of your way to find something you liked in them, I don't see why it has to be gone. You could still be friends and have that cadence with each other, but I think it comes to the self-respect you have for your other and appreciation in your significant other that you should have that trust in each other, so that it shouldn't really be an issue, in my opinion. I think it should be cool.
I think, Alex, we're going to give you a new nickname, DJ Philosophy.
Yes.
You just sound like a philosopher, man.
Hey, thank you, man.
He's well thought out, and he thinks, and he's very caring. So when you put all that together, he's always thinking about other people. I'm serious, yes. Alex, more than yourself. But
well, that's why he's trying to get all of us to be vegans.
It's because I love you guys. Come on now.
That's right.
I don't like Alex.
Not right. No, that's only because he's trying to save the animal population. I mean, I told you, if they were going to college and getting married and all that, then it would be a different story.
You talk about animals, right?
Right.
I agree.
Oh,
Rob.
All they do is walk around.
They don't even know.
They don't even know what's going on. They don't even know they're living in California. They don't know where they are.
They have no idea. They don't pay taxes or anything like that. All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
They just know they look good with barbecue sauce on.
Final hour coming up.